All right, turn to the book of Acts, please. The book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm going to give you fair warning about Acts chapter 2. It is my desire and intention to be very detailed in Acts chapter 2, because there's so much good information in Acts chapter 2, but it's important that you understand it correctly. Because there's also a lot of misinterpretations of Acts chapter 2, all right, which leads to wrong theology. And so the days that are ahead, I think I've already preached twice out of Acts chapter 2, and we've made it to verse 4, right? But however long it takes, it takes. We want the truth, amen? We get the truth from the Word of God. Wait a minute. We want the truth, amen? There we go. We're not going to be all passive this morning. We're going to dive into the Word of God. Would you stand? I said verse 5 is where we begin. Let's start with verse 4. And I didn't put that up there, but we'll pick up in verse 5. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says this: "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Perga, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.' So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' Others mocking said, 'They're full of new wine.'" Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today, knowing that we can understand nothing of ourselves. And so, Lord, we pray today for your guidance as we look into your words. Father, speak to us through your Spirit. Give us clarity and understanding that we may understand your word, that we may spiritually digest your word and grow in our relationship with you because of your word. Lord, this is your service. We are your people. I pray your will be done in this service today and in the lives of every individual that is within our hearing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I love that phrase, filled with the Spirit. And it's phrases like that that gets me excited. But it's here that I want us to begin by asking the question, what's the point? Verse 4 says they were filled with the Spirit. 120 of them were in that upper room. They were filled with the Spirit. So my question at this point would be, why? Why were they filled with the Holy Spirit? So they could have a really exciting day or exciting worship service? What was it all about? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And first reason they were filled with the Spirit, number one, is they were filled for a purpose. They were filled for a purpose. It says verse 5 that devout men from every nation were in Jerusalem. So I want you to imagine Jerusalem at this time. Normally in Jerusalem, there's about 70,000 people, a population, right? But at this time, at the time of Pentecost, people would have flooded the city of Jerusalem. It is estimated that at this time there would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 900,000 people crammed into the city of Jerusalem. Now imagine a city that goes from 70,000 to 900,000 basically overnight. I wonder if they were having an eclipse. No, they were just having Pentecost. These devout men that it says were dwelling in Jerusalem, that word devout, it means careful. What were they careful of? They were careful to observe the law of Moses. Careful not to offend God. They were religious and they wanted to be right. So they would never do anything that would intentionally offend God. They were very religious. Everybody in that city was very religious. But most of them were lost. It says that the multitude came together because they heard a sound. They were brought together. You know what that sound was, right? It was the sound of the rushing mighty wind that entered that room, the upper room where the 120 were. It sounded like a violent wind and it was not confined to just where those believers were. Everybody through the city heard it. Now, those believers in the upper room heard it, but they had also experienced the tongues that had come upon them and set on each of them individually. So they know what's going on in the city of Jerusalem, but everybody else in the city of Jerusalem does not know. And so, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Spirit, and you will never believe the next thing that 120 people did. Those 120 people left the upper room and they went out among the crowd that had been gathered by the sound, and they began to speak to them in their own languages about the wonderful works of God. Did you hear what I said? They were filled with the Spirit. They left and they went to tell people about the wonderful works of God. That was the point. That was the purpose. And what I want you to understand in the beginning today is that filling of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, it's more than a feeling. People today seem to be chasing a feeling. In today's culture, you know, we use phrases like, well, that was a Spirit-filled service. Actually, every service should be Spirit-filled, you know. But the point of the filling of the Spirit is not to fill a worship service so that you can worship better, or so that you can, as people put it, feel better. Has anybody ever told you, I want to feel like I went to church? Well, I want you to feel like you've been to church this morning. But I also want you to understand that church is not about feeling. I have all kinds of feelings throughout the week. If I watch my Razorbacks play ball, football, basketball, baseball, I've had a lot of sad feelings lately. But when they win, I have excited feelings. And at the end of the game, I'm like, yes, come on, bring the next team. But it's just a feeling. It's an emotion. And God is so much deeper than an emotion. Do not settle for an emotion. It's got to be more than that. These people, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it wasn't about them just being happy and, whoo, we had a good service. They were filled with the Spirit and they went out and told people about Jesus. You understand that's the purpose? Throughout the Bible, it's repeated. They were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. But when it says that, it doesn't say they were filled with the Spirit so they can feel good. It says they were filled with the Spirit and then they began to preach. Then they began to witness. Then they began to serve. That's the point of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now we preached, I know we preached a lot on this last Sunday, and I'm not going to go back and re-preach this, but I want you to understand, for the believer, filling of the Spirit is not about, I feel like I've been to church. Filling of the Spirit is when you leave here ready to tell other people about your church. Does that make sense? About your God. You see, the Spirit doesn't fill you so you can feel good. The Spirit fills you so you can act under the direction. That's the idea. When you're under full control of the Spirit, that's what it means to be filled by the Spirit. That's the purpose. Don't settle for an emotion. Now, I'm like you. I like to feel good too. But I also know my feelings do not change anything. But being filled with the Holy Spirit changes everything. Okay? So you're filled for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve. Not only are you filled for a purpose, the purpose is to serve, you're filled with ability. They were filled with ability. Notice, they're not witnessing from their own ability, but a God-given ability. That's where this gift of tongues comes from, or the point of the gift. And it's wonderful, and we'll talk a little bit more about tongues or languages a little bit later on. But I want you to notice what they say. These guys have flooded out of the upper room. They've got a crowd that God has gathered for them. And they begin to tell people about the wonderful works of God. And you know what the people say? Are not these Galileans? Why did they say that? Well, why would these people listen to Galileans is the question. Normally, you would not listen to a Galilean. When it says, when it says they're Galileans, it was not a compliment, right? It was not, these are smart people. No, it's actually the opposite. It was kind of a slur. Galileans were the uneducated of that culture. They were the poor of that culture. They were the low class of that culture. That's why when Nathanael was invited to come and see Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 46, and Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You ever wonder why he said that? Nazareth is a city in Galilee. It would have been a Galilean city. So Nathanael said, "What? You know the kind of people that come out of Galilee? They're not smart. They're not educated. They even had a way of speaking. We would call it an accent that identified them as being Galilean. That's why when Peter was accused of being one of Jesus' followers there, when Peter denied Jesus three times, and he was accused of being one of Jesus' followers. That, remember that little girl when she accused him, "You're one of Jesus' followers, your accent gives you away." That's what she was talking about. They talked like a Galilean. And I can relate to it. For years, Beth has corrected my English. You see, I'm from Des Arc, Arkansas. I'm not the only one. Michael is too. Josh has roots there. And when I first started preaching, I would use every word in the book. Double negatives, ain't this, and, you know, just everything. An English teacher would have looked at me and says, "Oh my goodness, this kid's got to be from Des Arc." Well, through the years, Beth has gotten a lot of that out of me, but I still will revert back to my roots on occasion. If you ever wonder why I butcher the English language, it's because I'm from Des Arc. Can anything good come from Des Arc? Probably not, unless God gets a hold of him, right? That's the way they viewed Galileans. Nobody would have listened to someone from Galilee except if God does something that blows your mind. And that's what God did. They say they came out and they began to speak to these people in tongues or languages. Tongues is, that's a very unfortunate translation. Tongues are always languages. Okay? I'm going to say that at this point. But I want you to notice what God did. God took these people that no one would have listened to and made them a people that everybody listened to. How'd he do that? Well, with God, all things are possible, right? God can do awesome things through his people when his people completely surrender themselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. Okay? When God's people stop quenching the Spirit and stop grieving the Spirit, when we stop telling the Spirit, no, 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 I don't want to do that. I've got different plans. No, 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 no. And we start saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You want me to preach? Yes, Lord. You want me to teach a class? Yes, Lord. You want me to tell somebody about Jesus? Yes, Lord. You see, when we come to that point of full surrender, and we say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, here am I. Use me. When we pour out ourselves and take in Christ, then he's able to do awesome things. You know, this isn't some magic formula. Matter of fact, I refer you back to Ephesians chapter 5 where we're told to be being filled or continually be filled with the Spirit. How do you do that? Surrender. We talked a lot about that last week. You do that by getting into the Word of God. It matters what you put on the inside. Listen, you can't watch dirty movies and talk like the devil and expect Jesus to fill you. I'll be honest with you, I'm becoming more and more offended today. I can't watch TV anymore. Because there are words. Oh my goodness. There are words that I don't need to hear. There are things that I don't need to see. Because what I let in here will fill me up in here. And if I'm filled with the world's garbage, I can't be filled with Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Listen, God can do awesome things when his people surrender. But he can't do awesome things as long as we quench and grieve the Spirit. We go on. And I want you to understand this gift of tongues. I said we're going to talk about that more later. Well, we're at later, right? It says, everyone heard in their own language. I want you to understand what God is doing here. When it says everyone heard in their own language, this does not mean that no matter what language the speaker was speaking, everybody heard it in their own language. This was not a two miracle thing, right? As in the gift of tongues and the gift of hearing in different languages, that's not what happened here, okay? They go out. They each are gifted with languages. That's what the word tongue means. And they begin, one of them would speak to one group of people who were Judean. The other one would speak to another group of people that were from Egypt and another group from Rome. And they would speak in their language. That's what happened. Right? They're not just hearing a language differently than the speaker. It's coming from the people who are speaking, who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and given the gift of languages. And verse 9 through 11 goes through a long list of all the languages they were speaking. But always understand this. Anytime you see the word tongues, it always is a real language, period. Okay? It's not some mindless babble. It's real language. And it was given so that people could hear the wonderful works of God. You see, the other reason it was given was so that people could identify God's people as being from God and having God's message. I said in the beginning, or a few minutes ago, that Galileans were not someone you could listen to or you would listen to. Once you learn they're from Galilee, you say, they're not important. They don't have anything important to say. They don't know anything. And you'd have gone on. But these Galileans were given an ability that immediately drew the attention of that audience. A God-given ability. And the reason they were given that ability was to identify them as being from God. Right? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Take note of this. You need this, right? What was the gift of tongues for? Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Listen, I can talk and you can say, I don't want to listen to him. But when God does something to make me worth listening to, then you listen, right? That's what happened. They were given the gift of languages. And that was God's declaration of, look, these are my people, my messengers, listen to them. Do we have the gift of tongues today? Is everybody listening? Okay. 20% are listening. Do we have the gift of tongues today? Are you listening? Okay. Do we have the gift of tongues today? If you're listening, get this. No. That time has passed. It was given for a specific age, for a specific reason. And the reason was not so they could have some wild church party and jump pews and run around and pass out in the floor. That was not why it was given. It was given to identify them as being from God. You say, Brother Doug, where do you get that it's no longer active? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Goes down a list there. Those were given for a specific time period, for a specific reason, to identify these people as being from God and having God's message. How do you identify people today as being from God and having God's message? Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Is the message coming from here? Is it coming from the Word of God? I encourage you, anything I preach, don't take it because the preacher said it. Take it because it comes out of the Word of God. And if you have a question about something I preach, ask it. I'll be glad to either back it up or I'll back up myself and say, ooh, I missed that. You know whether a man is from God or not. Simply, by his subject matter. You do not need these miraculous things to say he's from God. Now, having said that, let me tell you this. God is still God. All right? God is still God. And God can do anything he wants to do. He's just as powerful today as he was then. He can still heal sickness. He can still change lives. He can do anything he wants to do. Can he do miracles? Absolutely, he's God. Absolutely. I'm not questioning the power of God. Right? But you have to know that God does not need to work in this manner anymore. And if you'll notice throughout the Bible, tongues just faded out. They just faded out. Why? Because it was no longer needed. Paul said, you know, this is what you can expect through this age. And it'll fade. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says, and now abides what? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why is the greatest of those love? Because that's something we're always going to have. You understand, when you get to heaven, there will be no faith in heaven. Face the evidence of things hoped for, you know. And when we see Jesus, there'll be no need for faith, right? When we get to heaven, there'll be no expectation for the future, because we're living on the eternal scale. We'll be in the future forever, right? But love will always abide. It's important that we get this right, because quite honestly, a lot of people have gotten it wrong. And I know people are searching for excitement, and they want to feel good, and they want to feel better. And I'm the same way. I want to feel good. But I want to know that what I do is right in the eyes of God. And that's what we're talking about today. And I'll be honest with you. I've been filled with the Spirit from time to time, and it's wonderful. But I don't pursue it for the feeling. I pursue it for the relationship with God. There's a difference. There's a difference. See, there's a purpose for being filled with the Spirit. Third thing, filled for unbelievers. Oh, get this. Take a look at God's messengers. These guys are speaking in languages. I'm going to try not to use that word tongues anymore, because it's misleading. These guys are speaking in languages, and it was not a worship service. You know why they were doing it? It was for the benefit of unbelievers. Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. And see, those who practice this today, they don't do it for unbelievers. They get in a church worship environment, and they, here they go, you know. And any unbelievers in there look at them like, you have lost your mind. Well, Paul even talked about that in 1 Corinthians. It wasn't for worship service. It was a sign for unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Paul said, therefore, tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe, but to unbelievers. It's not something that was supposed to happen. It was never something that was supposed to happen in a worship service. It was something that was given so they could communicate the Word of God to unbelievers. And so those unbelievers would say, how are you talking to me? It was for unbelievers. What did it tell the unbelievers? Again, that this person was from God. There had to be a reason to listen to those guys, and God gave them that reason. See, God's messengers, and they had God's message. See, you might think the gift of languages is so the believer can hear the gospel, and it is, but it's deeper than that. You see, these people were moved, and get this, because this is the cool part. Best part of the whole message, in my opinion, right? These people were moved because they heard about the mighty works of God in their own language. And they had never heard that before. Really? Not in their own language. You see, who had the market cornered on God? The Jews. And anytime they would speak about God, guess what language they would speak in? Hebrew. Well, if Jews were God's chosen people, Hebrew must be God's chosen language. And so they would look at talking about God in any other language as beneath God or sacrilegious, or you just don't do that. You don't talk about God in English or German or, you know. That's the way they would have looked at it. And so these people, it's so amazing to them that others are talking about the wonderful works of God in their language. You would not even mention the name God in another language in that culture. What's the point? get this, instead of being a Jewish thing, God is now an everybody thing. Isn't that cool? You see, the Jews never really got it that they were supposed to deliver God to the world. And now, God is using His church to deliver Him to the world. And now, instead of being a Jewish thing, it's an everybody thing. I'm almost at the end. Do you understand that God is an everybody thing? You know, I've heard people say, I'm not a church-going kind of guy. Or, I'm not a religious person. You hear them. You don't understand. See, God is not about being a religious person. God's not about a church thing, even though we should be in church, you know. God is about a personal thing. And you know what the Bible says? John 3:16. Everybody knows this. For God so loved who? The world. Cosmos. Everybody in it. I love the old song. Red and yellow, black and white. We are precious in His sight. Boy, I see a lot of people here today, and you all look very different. You look beautiful, you look wonderful, but you look very different. Some people wearing one color, some wearing another, some have a mixture of colors, some plaids. Some are gray-haired, some are long-haired, some are short-haired, some have no hair. I'm headed there real quick. That's why I try to face y'all, because I got this spot on the back. There are some people in this congregation today that society would say, oh, they're a good person. There's other people in this congregation today that society would say, you don't want to deal with that person. There are people here today that know very little about the Bible, and there are people here today who know a lot about the Bible. But you know what we all have in common? Christ died for all. Red and yellow, black and white. We are precious in His sight. I love Acts chapter 2 because it marks the beginning of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. It marks the beginning of convincing people, hey, Jesus is for you. And that's what I want you to get out of the message today. As we close, Jesus is for you. But listen, you've got to respond. If you'll notice in the text, it says, so they were all amazed. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? See, they were interested. They were wanting to know more. I hope you're interested today because Jesus is for you. You say, Brother Doug, I don't know very much. I mean, yeah, but you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. But Jesus is for you. But there was another group. There were those who says, wonder what this means. I want to know more. It's kind of that mentality. And then there was another group, verse 13. Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. See, they're being sarcastic. That word new wine literally is the Greek word for fresh grape juice. As of, not being fermented or not being very fermented, not having that time to be very fermented. What are they saying? They're looking at him and saying, yeah, those boys have been drinking new wine. It's a sarcastic throw at them being drunk. That's what it is. And Peter's going to explain that later. We won't get into it today. But here's what I want you to get from that. There's only one or two ways that you can respond See, Jesus gave His life. He died for your sins so that you could have a personal relationship with God the Father. And you have one of two responses. Today you could say, I want more. I want to know this Jesus. I want to be saved. I want forgiveness of my sins. I want what a Christian has. Or you can sit back and you can make fun. Oh, they're not real. You know, the Bible's just a book. It was written by man. And they're just putting on. They're not sincere. You know, they're just playing church. Well, you can mock all you want to, but I'll tell you one thing. A believer knows what he has. Okay? And a genuine believer wants everybody to have what he has. Today I want you to know Jesus. Will you be part of that crowd that says, I want more? Or will you be the other side that says, just dismiss it and I'm not going to fool with it? The decision is yours. But Jesus gave His life so that you could have a personal relationship with God. Now it's your turn to choose. Choose life in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, we rejoice in Your Word. Oh, Lord, it's so good to know You and to see the growth of the church here and the spread of the gospel. Lord, it's so good to know that You are still a powerful God. And did You still empower Your believers to serve You? Father, we pray for that power as Victory Baptist Church. But we also know that there are those here, Lord, who would scoff and mock. Who would say, not for me, not today. Father, today I want to especially pray for those who are lost. I pray that today You would convict them of sin and that they would come to You for salvation. I pray that in this invitation that we all will be submissive and surrendered to Your will. Whether it be for salvation, baptism, or even church membership, Lord. We pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.